Welcome to this beginner Ableton Live 12 lesson on Shape Jungle switch-ups for rewind-worthy drops. Today we're going to build a drum and bass drop that starts locked in, then flips into a more chaotic jungle-style variation using resampling. The whole goal is to make the second pass feel like a mutation, not a copy. That's the kind of move that gets heads turning and makes a DJ want to reload it. So think in phrases, not just bars. A strong drop usually has a first phrase that establishes the groove, then a second phrase that disrupts it. In this lesson, we'll make the first 8 bars feel controlled, and the next 8 bars feel more frantic, more edited, and more rewind-worthy. Let's start by setting the scene. Open a new set in Ableton Live 12 and set the tempo somewhere around 174 to 176 BPM. That keeps us in classic drum and bass territory. Then make a 16-bar loop in arrangement view and put a locator at bar 9. That bar 9 mark is important because that's where our switch-up is going to land. Now build a simple skeleton with 4 kinds of tracks: drums, bass, resampling, and effects. On the drum side, keep it basic at first. You want a kick, a snare, maybe a break layer or some top percussion, and a few ghost notes if you can fit them in. If you're using a break, load it into simpler and try slice mode so you can chop the break by transients. That gives you easy control and makes it much simpler to create those classic jungle style edits. A good beginner trick here is not to overdo the groove right away. The first 8 bars should feel stable. If the whole drop is full of edits from the start, there's nowhere for the switch-up to go. So give the listener something to lock onto. Add EQ8 to clean up any low rumble from hats or breaks. Add drum bus if you want a little more punch and glue, but keep it tasteful. A small amount of drive can go a long way. And if the drum group starts to feel messy, use utility to keep the group centered and under control. One teacher style note here: in drum and bass, transient contrast matters a lot. The ear notices changes in attack more than it notices more stuff. So if you want the switch up to hit harder later, make sure your first section has a clear, readable drum shape. Now let's move to the bass. For a beginner-friendly bass sound in Ableton, operator is a great choice. You can use a sine wave for the sub and then add a second layer or a separate instrument for the mid-bass movement. Keep the sub mono. That's a big one. The sub should stay solid and centered so the low end doesn't lose power. A nice starting point is to set the sub so it supports the kick without fighting it. Then add some saturation to the mid-bass so it cuts through on smaller speakers. Saturator works great for this. A little drive, maybe 2 to 6 dB, can add the harmonics you need without making the bass too harsh. Use auto filter if you want motion. You can automate the cutoff so the bass opens and closes over time. That movement is going to help us build tension before the switch up. For the rhythm, keep it simple and effective. Maybe the bass hits on the end of 1 and beat 3 in one bar, then answers with a longer note or a short stab in the next bar. That call and response idea is useful because it gives us something musical to resample later. You're not just writing a bass line, you're creating source material. Now comes the key move: resampling. Create a new audio track and set its input to resampling. Arm that track and record a few bars of your drum and bass loop. Record at least 4 bars, and honestly, a little longer is often better. Extra recording gives you accidental gold, like tail noise, delayed hits, or a useful little gap you didn't plan for. Try to record the full groove, including any filter movement or effects you've already added. Just don't clip the master. Leave some headroom so the audio stays punchy and editable. Once you've recorded it, you now have your own printed audio material. This is where the magic starts, because audio is much easier to chop, reverse, and reshape than MIDI when you want that switch-up energy. Take that resampled clip and start cutting it into smaller pieces. You can do this right in arrangement view, or you can load it into simpler and use slice mode. For this lesson, keep it beginner-friendly and just slice it into a few obvious sections first. Try duplicating the clip, then cutting it at bar lines and around the most important drum hits. Focus on the start of the switch-up, around bar 9 or bar 13. That's where you want the listener to feel the corner turn. Here are a few good jungle-style edit ideas: a short stuttered drum hit before the snare, a reverse tail leading into the downbeat, a chopped bass stab that answers the fill, a tiny break fragment right before the next phrase. Keep one or two slices as signature moments. You do not need a million edits. In fact, fewer elements with stronger rhythm changes often feels bigger than piling on more layers. If a slice feels too stiff, nudge it slightly off the grid. If it feels too long, shorten it. That tiny timing change can make the whole groove breathe more naturally. Now let's build tension before the switch. This is where automation does a lot of heavy lifting. A simple auto filter move on the bass can work really well. Try closing the cutoff over bars 7 and 8, then snap it open again at bar 9. That kind of movement tells the ear that something is about to happen. You can also throw in a short echo or reverb moment on the last hit before the switch. Don't wash out the whole mix. Just use a quick throw on one snare or one bass stab. A little feedback, a little space, and then back to the impact. One useful arrangement trick is to create a small silence before a major hit. Even a half bar gap can make the next downbeat feel huge. In drum and bass, that absence can be more powerful than adding another layer. So now let's shape the actual switch up section. Bars 1 to 8 should feel like the statement. Bars 9 to 16 should feel like the mutation. For the switch up, change the relationship between the drums and bass, not just the number of notes. That's the real trick. At bar 9, hit the listener with a strong downbeat. Then in bar 10, bring in a chopped break fill or a syncopated drum pattern. In bar 11, bring the bass back with a different rhythm. At bar 12, drop in a short gap or a quick silence before the snare lands. Then at bar 13, repeat the idea with a variation so it doesn't feel copied. A rewind-worthy moment often happens when you break the expectation just enough. For example, if your groove has been hitting consistently every two bars, try removing the bass on beat 1 of bar 13 and bringing it back on the end of 2. That small absence makes the return feel heavier. You can also use a pre-switch fake-out. Mute the bass for half a bar, then bring it back with a different slice or octave. That little surprise can feel way bigger than a long, obvious build. If you want more jungle character, add tiny ghost hits from the break before the main snare. Those tiny details give the groove life and make it feel more authentic. Now let's clean up the mix so the switch-up hits harder instead of messier. On the drum group, use EQ8 to remove any unnecessary low end from the top layers. Use drum bus lightly if you want glue and punch. Maybe add a gentle glue compressor if the group needs a bit more cohesion, but keep it subtle. You want energy, not squashed chaos. On the bass group, keep the sub mono with utility. Use EQ8 to make space between kick and sub if they're fighting. And if the mid-bass needs more presence, saturator can add harmonics without making everything too bright. Always check the low end in mono. If the bass gets weak or facey, simplify the stereo width and keep the sub locked in the center. In drum and bass, the kick-sub relationship is everything. If that foundation stays clean, the creative stuff on top can go wild. A very useful beginner rule is this. If the drop feels busy, remove something before you add more. Let's talk about the bigger musical idea for a second. The first phrase should establish identity. The second phrase should mutate that identity. If you keep one anchor sound consistent, like the snare tone or the bass timbre, the switch up feels intentional instead of random. That's what makes it sound like the same track evolving, rather than a bunch of disconnected ideas. And one more important tip. Record your resample through a little bit of character. Light saturation, a touch of EQ, maybe some gentle compression before you print it can make the audio more useful later. That way, when you chop it up, it already has some attitude. If you want to go a step darker and heavier, you can layer a distorted ghost version of the bass under the main bass stab. High pass it so it doesn't swallow the sub, but let it add texture. That's a great move when you want the switch up to feel more underground. Here's a simple practice target if you want to keep going after this lesson. Build an 8-bar roller groove with kick, snare, hats, and a simple bass line. Resample 4 bars of that groove onto a new audio track. Slice the resample into a handful of pieces. Then make a 4-bar switch up using 1 drum fill, 1 bass stab variation, 1 reverse or reverb throw, and 1 short silence before the downbeat. Automate a filter so the last 2 bars feel like they're building pressure. Then listen back and ask yourself one question. Does the second half feel like a mutation of the first? That's the heart of this technique. To recap, start with a solid drum and bass groove. Then plan your switch up at a clear phrase boundary. Resample your own material in Ableton Live 12 so you can chop and reshape it. Keep the sub controlled and mono, while the drums and mid-bass do the creative movement. Use automation, gaps, and break fragments to create tension. And remember, in drum and bass, the best switch ups feel like a natural evolution that makes the drop worth rewinding. That's the lesson. Lock in the groove, print your own audio, and then twist it into something the crowd has to hear again.